Thank you very much, Lorraine. So I'm going to be speaking to you this morning, the title of my message is Rewrite There, and I've just really been loving what we speak. If you weren't here last week, head onto our website and listen to what Pastor Stuart had to say. I don't know what was going on, but there were tears, I was holding it back, it was just absolutely amazing what God was up to. So I'm going to do my best so you carry that momentum forward. But this morning, the title of my message is Rewrite Your Story. And I've been saying it for a few weeks now. Spring should be here. It is officially here. But it is that time I was listening to a podcast and it was saying that how New Year's resolutions, it's actually better to start them in the springtime. And I think many cultures around the world who don't use the Gregorian calendar that we do in the UK, whether that's, you know, the Hebrew lunar calendar or Chinese New Year and things like that, when their year starts, you know, February, March time, depending on what's going on, I think they might be onto something. I find that after the Christmas break, when I'm just full of turkey and full of all these sorts of things, there is an initial momentum to think, yeah, this year is going to be different, 2024 is the year it's really going to take off. But then statistics talk about Blue Monday, just 3 or 4 weeks down the line, which is statistically the most depressing day of the year, because you've had a few weeks now for the year to get going and you realize, actually, I haven't been making the most of that gym membership. Actually, I've given up halfway through Exodus when it starts talking on and on and on about the tabernacle plans and all of these sorts of things. And, you know, the story was so exciting. There was the Red Sea and now there's this. And I think utilizing, you know, spring, it's good, all these great things when good intentions fall flat. But I want to talk more than just good intentions. I want to talk about rewriting your story. Now, my story and Rachel's story has taken on a dramatic new chapter, understandably. The evidence is right there. And I'm thinking right now, you know, my story of 30 years up to this point, you know, it's had its twists and its turns. It's had its highs and its lows. It's had its exciting times. It's had its dull times. But my story has been pretty exciting, and you know various different details if you've been listening to me preaching for a while, and or if you've been coming to our Connect group and that sort of thing. And Rachel will say the same. And our story took another dramatic turn. We went to Denmark for Bible college. It went another dramatic turn. And as I'm reflecting on this, you know, I'm not that old, but I'm getting older, and I'm reflecting on my story. And then all of a sudden, baby Joe arrives, and his story, as the song goes, his story is yet unwritten. Very, very good song. And I'm sat there with him, just looking into his eyes, and I just see infinite potential. He's only, a year ago, he didn't even exist, which is just bizarre to think. And on Tuesday, he'll be 8 weeks old. He'll only have been 8 weeks on this planet. And his story is yet to be written. And I think, who are you going to be, little man? Are you going to be, well, at some point, his personality will probably revolve around being an astronaut or being a pirate or these sorts of things. And fair play if he goes down those, maybe not pirate, but astronaut, certainly. But what do you want to be, little man? Who do you want to be? What is your voice going to sound like? I know what it sounds like now, but when you start to use your words, what is it going to sound like? Where are you going to go? Who are you going to meet? What do you want to do? How are we going to do that? And I'm thinking, Rachel and I get the immense privilege of guiding him as he writes his story. Now, for now, we are writing quite a lot of it. He doesn't get to decide where he lives. He doesn't get more and what clothes he gets to wear, all those sorts of things. But there'll come a point, increasingly, more and more so, where he will be the author. He will decide where he wants to go, what he wants to do. And then I'm thinking about this, and I'm thinking back to the times in my story where I made some choices as an author at different points, as a child, as a teenager, as a young adult, as a slightly older adult, that I thought, looking back, man, I really wish that I hadn't done that. And if there was to be someone who wrote a biography of my life, which I don't know if there will be, maybe one day if I'm lucky, if I get famous enough. But if someone were to write a story about my life, I'd probably want to sit alongside them up that part, that time when I looked really good. And then I was thinking more about this and thinking, actually, I could write a story of my life if I wanted to. I don't know if it will be a bestseller or not, but I could write a story. I could get it published. But no matter how hard I try, there will just be something in me that will want to just make me look good, make me look even better than I was at the high points, and try and cover up all of the points where I'm not so proud. And then I thought, well, that's not the real story, is it? God, as it says in Hebrews, and we'll come to a little later, God is the author of our lives. He's the true author. And there'll come a point for all of us when we stand in front of God and, you know, people talk about different metaphors. The Bible talks about books being opened, the record of our lives. Other people have said it's like a movie that plays. And we will reflect on our life with God, and we will have to answer for what we've said and what we've done and things like that. Now, we believe as Christians we are saved by grace. We are forgiven. God is not holding our failures, our mistakes, our sin against us. But every single one of us will one day stand face to face in front of Jesus, looking in the eyes, and we're going to have to explain our story. We're going to have to say where we've been, what we've done, and what we've done with that breath of God that he's given to us. He's expecting a return on investment. So my question, first of all, this morning is, what is your story? Some of around might have more complicated stories than others. Some of us who've been around for longer, who are older, might have longer stories than us. Some people might just feel like they're just getting started as they're studying or entering into the work world for the first time. But every single one of us has a story. And as I think, if they were to make a movie or a documentary about Chris Huckle and his life, I'd probably want someone like Morgan Freeman to narrate it just with his lovely, gravelly, silky smooth voice. And I'm not going to do an impression because I can't. But if you've ever seen any of his films, it's just wonderful. Who would you want to be your narrator? Who would you, if they made a movie, who would they want to play you? Who would be acting in your role, in your world, all throughout the periods of your life? And, you know, we can get caught up in all of these ideas and fantasies, and maybe someone will write a story or make a movie of your world, of your life. But God has already been writing it from the get-go. There are all kinds of verses in the Bible that talk about how, you know, even from the foundation of the world, before your parents had even considered you, God had considered you, and he had planned out every one of your days in his book. God is the author of your story. And when we think about that, that can be a bit daunting to think God knows all of the details. At least if I was to write my story, that I could make myself look pretty good. But God sees everything, including the bits that we would rather keep quiet, that wouldn't make it into the final edit or the final draft or the final cut of our story. But God is it all. God sees it all. God is the author. God wants to be involved in writing your story. And the truth of the matter is that he uses all parts, like every single part of your story, he can use somehow. I don't know how he does it half the time, but the Bible says he makes all things, every single thing in your world to work for the good of those who love him. God uses even those dark points in your story, those difficult points, those times when you let someone down or you were let down by someone, when it was your fault and when it was not your fault, when you were trying your best and your best didn't seem good enough, or when you just threw all of that out the window and thought, I'm doing things my way. And as we all know, that never turns out too well. But still, in those times, God uses those chapters and he uses it for good. In Ephesians 2:10, I'm reading from the NLT here, it says, we are God's masterpiece. That's very encouraging. He created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things that he planned for us long ago. It says he planned good things for us. Rarely will they just sit down and just type whatever comes to mind and then just hope that a good story will come out. And God has planned your story like a brilliant author. He was sat there writing out your story, planning it out, and wanting you to walk out the good things that he had written in draft form in advance. And it says, we are God's masterpiece. Now, I don't know what comes to mind when you think of a masterpiece or anything like that. You might, you know, think of a statue by Michelangelo. You might think of a really good song or anything like that. If I'm being polite and earning brownie points, Rachel, you're a masterpiece. You're fantastic. But the Greek word for this word, masterpiece, it's not an old crumbly statue from thousands of years ago. The Greek word for masterpiece here is poemai. I think I'm pronouncing that correctly, but it's where we get our word poem from. And I don't know how much you're into poetry. I don't know how much, you know, you read Shakespeare or all those sorts of things. I know many Iranians, like, I'm just discovering Hafez, his poetry and all those sorts of things, this beautiful world of Persian poetry. But God wants to write your life as a beautiful poem, as a masterpiece with all its twists and turns. He wants to craft a beautiful story, a beautiful poem of your life. And it's, for me right now, as I'm thinking about Joseph and everything he's going to be, I think, God, I want you to just take him to way beyond anything that I could ever go. I want him to be better than me. I want him to be taller than me, stronger than me, smarter than me, more handsome than me. I want his story to be magnificent, not just a clone or a sequel of my story. But God, I want you to unleash all the goodness of your story onto him. And I want to be a part of that as well. Now, it's easy for me to think that, you know, as I've got a child now, you know, what my legacy of my story. But whether you've got kids or not, what is your story? What story will you leave behind? I want to encourage you, first of all, this morning, you're not just a background character in someone else's story. You're not just an extra in the sideline of that world. You're not just a secondary character. You are God's poem. You are God's poetry. You are his masterpiece, which he spent eternity before time started drafting out as an artist, as an architect, and he wants you to walk it out. So your story, as you're thinking about this, you think, well, Chris, that's all very well, but my story doesn't feel like an epic poem. It doesn't feel like something that you could put in the British Library. It doesn't feel like something that you could show at the IMAX and everyone would be so impressed and it would win all the Oscars. My story right now might have some tidy bits, might have some highlights, but it feels pretty messy. Or there's things that you look back on, some dark chapters that you just want to hide away. Everyone has a story to tell. And I want to say God can transform it into a masterpiece, into an epic narrative. So this morning, allow God to enter into your story and allow him to rewrite your story. If you don't like where your story has taken you, this morning perhaps could be the time that you let God in and you allow him to rewrite your story. If you feel like you have been writing a story that you're not happy with, if you feel like circumstances have meant you've had no choice and you've been forced into a job or into a situation or into a place that is not you, is not what you had planned out, allow God in to rewrite that story. I know for many of our Iranians, story would have taken you away forcefully in many instances, and here to the UK as a refugee. Maybe that's not what you planned as your story. It's certainly not what I would have planned. But allow God to rewrite your story. My story has its twists and turns, but I know that everything started to change when I was 15 years old, as I've probably told you before, and I encountered Jesus for the very first time. He saw me in the mess of my story. He saw the direction that my story was going in. And he says, man, I can do something with that. That is a great character. He's going to be the main star of a story that I have just for him. He looked at me and said, I want that one. I'm going to give him everything. He's going to be the star of my show in this situation. I'm not bigging myself up here. I'm just saying, I'm God's masterpiece. You can't argue with me. The Bible says so. And guess what? So are you. Your story can be an epic narrative. Everyone has a story. We tend to think sometimes, especially if we've been around conferences and around church, where we hear these amazing testimonies of people were one way and now they're another. You start in the Bible and someone says, I was blind. I couldn't see. Miraculously, now I can. And then we hear other people's stories. They think, man, I was weighed down in debt and God set me free supernaturally. He made a way where there seemed to be no way. I was stuck in addiction to this, this, that, or the other. And God rescued me and now I am free. And we think, wow, that's an epic story. But my story doesn't sound half as exciting as that. Listen, not everyone's story is as dramatic as that. I get that. But it doesn't have to be. Your story is still amazing. If I was to just watch on TV all of the time, just Lord of the Rings over and over and over and over again, and I do that a bit, but if I was just to do that every single day, just the drama of it all, it just gets far too much. Life just can't be all about the dramatic and the mountaintop. We've got to come to God in every area of our life. And maybe you feel like, my story isn't that exciting. My story isn't that dramatic. Let me tell you, God still wants to build a masterpiece out of it. You don't have to be in the depths of despair, the depths of depression or addiction or debt or any of those sorts of things for you to have a masterpiece of to rewrite your story. God did this with his people in the Old Testament, the children of Israel, when they were enslaved in Egypt. That's what their story was for generation after generation after generation. I'm a slave. My dad was a slave. His dad was a slave for hundreds and hundreds of years. That was the story of not just one person, but the story of an entire people, the story of an entire nation. And what did they do? When God met Moses at the burning bush, it says, I've heard their story. I've heard them crying out to me because of their slave drivers. I've heard them saying, this is not what we were made for. This is not what our story should be. And God says, I'm going to rescue them and I'm going to rewrite their story. 10 plagues and a parting of the Red Sea later, boom, you have the birth of a nation that is set apart. A nation of slaves that were generationally a nation of slaves. Hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people, in a matter of days, God was able to transform into a people for his own treasured possession, it says. People who would be a light into the world. People who would be set apart. People who had the very presence of God living in their midst in the tabernacle, seeing miracle after miracle after miracle. That can be you as well. We believe as a church here in New Malden, we take Jesus' words seriously when he says, you are a city set on a hill. We want to rewrite the story of New Malden. And we don't want our vision to be small either. We want to rewrite the story of London. We want to rewrite the story of this nation, of this world. And we are touching many nations in this place. But that can only happen if this city on a hill, if this church is made of people who are allowing God to rewrite their story, to step into even the dark chapters, an architect of my life. That faith with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And so I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Maybe you're thinking your old story, no good, irredeemable, messy. This morning, allow God to close that chapter and write a new one. There is always a new chapter, a new narrative, a new way of doing things with Jesus. There are countless second chances, countless opportunities. Doesn't matter how old you are, doesn't matter how young you are, doesn't matter where you've been or where you're going. Doesn't matter what you look like, what you sound like, what you smell like, how you dress, how rich, how poor. God wants to build a masterpiece of a story. They're all unique. They all have different genres. If our stories were the same, it'd be so dull. But my story is a masterpiece. Your story is a masterpiece. Maybe yours is a, I don't know, an epic high fantasy narrative and mine is a rom-com. I don't know what it is. But God will make a masterpiece of your story if you will let it. And where your story has been doesn't have to be where your story will end up. A really good story takes a hero from one place to another, and they not only change the situation around them, but they themselves are changed in the process. Any good story will change not only the circumstances, the events that they started with, but the character as well. They come out stronger. They come out victorious. They come out as someone who is different and even often who will never be the same again. I want to encourage you. God can close off the chapters that you are not happy with. He can somehow utilize them to write a new story. You don't have to hide it away. You don't have to be ashamed. You don't have to feel like, you know, Jesus, I'm wrestling the pen out of your hands, and this is exactly how I want it. Anytime I've tried that, I end up making a cling to just try and wipe away, and God says, come on, ink, because my tears at how it didn't work out are just spilling everywhere, and God says, come on. Jesus, take the wheel. Jesus, take the fountain pen. Jesus, take the keyboard. Take the typewriter. Take the notebook. Take the journal of my life and rewrite my story. It brings me, like I was saying, to Hebrews 12, where it says this. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, in other words, since we've got an audience to our story, whether we like it or not, but since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let's lay aside all the weights, all the stuff that's trying to hold us back, all the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus. Why? Not just because he's a good role model, although he is. Not just because he's a great teacher, although he is. Not just because if we follow his advice, life will turn out pretty good, although that's true. But why do we look to Jesus? Because he is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the one who wrote your story, and he is the one who will finish it. The story of your life right now, no matter how good or how bad it is, all of us in some way or another are hoping for a good end to our story. For a happy end, each and every one of us. But each and every one of us wants a good end to our story. Well, guess what? Jesus is not only the author of your story, if you let him, he is also able to finish it well. The author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, if you ask me, if I was to watch a movie or read a book where the main tortured and gruesomely in horrific detail murdered midway through the story, that's not something that I would build a religion on. That's not something that I would think could ever be redeemed. And yet Jesus, publicly shamed, publicly humiliated, gave up all of his rights to come to earth as a baby who was despised, rejected, tortured, murdered for what he didn't deserve. That is the whole point of the story of what Jesus did for us. If God can turn something like the cross into salvation for all of humanity, surely he can take even the dark, painful, difficult, distressing moments and chapters of your story and turn it around for your good and for his glory. Let him rewrite your story. It says, for the joy that was set before him. Let me tell you, if you allow God in to rewrite your story, there is joy coming. Right now, you might feel like in the middle of just the lowest chapter of your life. Or maybe that was a while back, and things have been getting a little bit better since then. The chapters have been getting a bit more cheerful, a bit more hopeful. But there's still the shadow of that one time still looming over everything else, everywhere else that your story takes you. But it says here, for the joy that was set before him, for the expectation that his story would not end in a grave, but would 3 days later rise up in victory and send us out for more. That's why he went to the cross. Allow God to not just rewrite your story, but reframe your story, where you see whatever moment in your life comes to mind, where you see that as God able to step in and say, I can bring joy out of that. I can turn that around for good. I can make a different ending to your story. You have a future destiny that only you can fulfill. Now, I'm alone and this, that, and the other, but there are people, places, situations, ideas, opportunities that I will never, ever be able to touch by myself. But you can. Family, friends, places, situations. God wants to not only rewrite your story to give you a good ending, but to make sure that every other character you encounter, their story is left with a touch of glory on the other side of it. So what is the direction of your story? Are you happy with it? Are you not so happy with it? Are you thinking, it's going all right now, but I'm just waiting for the next chapter. What on earth is that going to bring? You're thinking, oh, this is not the kind of movie that I go watch. It's pretty dull. Seems more just like a documentary of survival rather than an epic adventure for Jesus. Or is it like, you know, I'm going through it and I'm trying to rewrite something better, but the shadow of chapter 3, chapter 4, that one particular scene is just still looming over everything else. If you don't like it, allow God in and allow God to rewrite your story. Every day, we give ourselves... every day, God gives us the choice. Who is going to be the one writing our story? I find that when I pick up the pen, I tend to make a mess of things. But when I allow God to lead me, to guide me, to take me to chapters and scenes and people that don't seem to make sense, perhaps, to me, always on the other side of it, there is joy. There is victory. There is more than I ever could have hoped for. So this morning, there will be a new chapter. If you feel like you're in the middle of a chapter right now of your story that doesn't feel so good, there will be a new chapter. And there'll be another chapter after that. And an even greater chapter after that. And the most fantastic, well thought out, well plotted, 10 out of ever planned. We've all watched TV shows that started so well and just ended so poorly. You think, how on earth did the writers ever mess that up? Maybe that's how your life is feeling right now. Put God in the director's chair. Give God the pen. Give God access to your typewriter. I don't know what metaphor you use, but your story, let God write the ending. This beautiful verse in Philippians 1:6 says this, and let it be your hope. It says, I am certain. I'm not just hopeful. I'm not just optimistic. I'm not just guessing, but I am certain, Paul says, that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work. He will continue your story until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. There will come a day when, at least in this life, your story will come to an end. Sorry to break it to you. But at some point, your story in this life will come to an end. And when that happens, I think all of us, in some way, shape, or form, when all of the wealth and the bank account falls away, when the fashion and the trends falls away, whenever our ideas or our careers and everything like that falls away, and it's just going to be us and God, the only thing in that situation, the only thing that will allow us, we are a people that says God, the sequel into eternity in heaven with him, is if we are a people that says, God, right now, my story has been messy. My story has been tough. My story has been dark. My story has been boring. But I'm allowing you in now to write poems. I'll just do a short one. I don't normally do this. But speaking of poems, there's a short one that Martin Luther spoke about. And it really helped me internalize all of this as I've started to realize that this is a story. I haven't arrived yet at the destination. I haven't arrived at the end of the story. I will one day. But my story is still being written. And Martin Luther said this. He says, this life, therefore, it's not actually righteousness, but growth in righteousness. All of us wish that we were stronger or faster or richer or holier or closer to God or more faithful or more virtuous than we are right now. And one day there's an eternity where that will be true. But for now, we're in the middle of this story. Don't skip to the end. Fast forward on the DVD. Allow God to write your story and realize, yeah, this life right now doesn't always feel like righteousness, the fullness of what it should be. But I'm on an upward trajectory. My story is getting better. It's not righteousness, but it is growth in righteousness. Maybe right now my story is not health. Maybe you're sick. Maybe you're fatigued and tired. Maybe your story right now is not health, but your story can be healing. Maybe your story right now is not being, but it can be becoming. This life might not be rest, but it can be exercise. Martin Luther says, "We're not yet where we shall be, but we are growing towards it. The process is not yet finished, but it is going on. This is not the end, but it is the road. All does not yet gleam in glory, but all is being purified." Even if that probably doesn't surprise you, but where the story takes you through those times, there can still be joy. Maybe your story right now, you're just waiting for the next chapter. Let me encourage you, allow God into the middle of this one and allow him to rewrite it. You don't just have to skip ahead to when things are better, but you're saying, God, I'm allowing you in to this moment, to this scene, to this chapter, and I'm allowing you to rewrite my story. And enjoy your story. It is possible. At the start of mine and Rachel's marriage, we, as part of our travels, part of our honeymoon, we went to America. And we started near the top of California, and we drove down through San Francisco and through Yosemite and all these things. And we ended up in LA, which is a very strange, very silly place. And then we ended up in Disney World, which was awesome. But looking back on it, Disneyland was great. Even if I'm not the biggest Disney fan, Disneyland was pretty cool. But looking back on it, the nearly 12-hour drive, because there were some boulders that had fallen on the road and we had to take a detour through Nevada to get around there. The 12-hour drive of me and Rachel as newlyweds in the sunshine, enjoying the beautiful scenery of Yosemite, something I'd never seen before, just the glory of it all. Blasting out praise music, planning our future ahead, reflecting on our marriage a few weeks prior. That was so much greater. Better than any Disneyland that I could ever go to. Enjoy the road with God. Enjoy the scene, chapters of your life. It is possible, even in the craziest, strangest, most difficult chapters of your life, it's still possible to find joy, just like Jesus. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, the worst chapter of his eternal story. There can be joy on the road. Even when there's bumps, even when there's boulders in the road, there's plenty of joy on the way. The destination will be amazing. We will all stand in eternity with God in glory, where every tear is wiped away. Death is just a memory. Pain and sickness and suffering will never come back. Amen. We look forward to that. We look forward to the end of the story. But you can enjoy the road. The destination's amazing. But there's plenty along the way. Heaven is the destination, but you can also bring heaven to earth now. It's not on the screen, but Paul says, he's wrestling with this. He says, I want to go and be with Jesus. He's essentially saying he wants to leave this life. He wants to die and go to heaven and be with Jesus. He says, I'm looking forward to it. But he says, actually, it's better I'm here now because my story's not finished yet. He says the words, to die is gain. As Christians, it's the greatest cheat code ever. When we die, we actually gain. But he says, to live is Christ. To live is Christ, to die is gain. At the end of our story, we will gain so much more. But right now, to live is Christ. To live is to be with the author of your story and allow him to write something far better than you ever could, to allow him to bring joy and peace and life and wholeness into your world, to bring heaven to earth everywhere there's hell in your chapters now. God can bring heaven to that. And you do this by laying down the pen and saying, God, you can write it. I hand it over to you. You do it with God's grace and with God's strength. He has made you good with him. He's wiped your past clean. He can close the chapter. He empowers your present to allow you to walk with joy, with a happily ever after, with a good finish. 10 out of 10. Oscar winning. You'll get there. But right now, your story is still unwritten. Maybe you're thinking so much of it has been written already. God's not done with you yet. May your most fruitful years, may your most exciting years, may the most epic scenes of your story still be ahead of you. The choice is yours if you want to do that. Don't, as lovely as his voice is, he's a great narrator and I love what he does, but don't let your life just be a David Attenborough documentary where it's just casually observing, just floating on by. No. Let God in to write an epic story, a poema, a poem, a masterpiece. In 1 Corinthians 13, at the end of this epic long chapter about, you know, love and spiritual gifts and all of these sorts of things, this is often read out at weddings. But he says, we've got three things left. No matter where our story takes us, we've got three things that secure us. We've got faith. Now, faith looks to the past. Faith looks at the story that has already been written in your life, the previous chapters. And with faith, we have faith that God is able to redeem that, to use it even to make something new. We got faith that looks to the past. And then he says we got hope, and hope looks to the future. Hope looks to the end of the story. Hope sustains us when the story is tough right now. He's like, I know I've got a good ending with God, an eternity with him where the sequel is going to be better than anything this life could have ever offered. We've got faith that looks to what was written, knowing that God redeems it. We've got hope that looks to the future, to a good ending to the story. But then we have love, and love looks to the present. Our love with God and rewrite other people's as well. We got those three things: past, future, present, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. In other words, God's redeemed your past. God's got a good future. But if you allow him, the greatest of these is right here, right now, heaven to earth. Glory to glory, faith to faith. Allow God in to rewrite your story this morning. How about you jump to your feet? I'm going to pray for you, and then we'll round off the service. I want to encourage you and perhaps, you know, set some expectations. There are times when God jumps in and you just get blasted by the Holy Spirit and it feels like everything has changed. And if that's happening to you right now, amen. Let God do his thing. But I've often found in my world, the way that God tends to move more, at least in my world, is every day he writes another line of the poem. Every day he directs another scene. Maybe you're going to leave church today, head home, do whatever it is you do, and your house looks the same as the way you left it. Currently, there's clothes and cloths and bottles and nappies around ours. Maybe you're thinking, you know, my situation, my bank account, my relationships, my family, my friends, my job, it's still going to look the same. I would say, yeah, maybe, for now. But there's a new chapter coming. Writing a story takes time. Reading a story takes time. I just finished Lord of the Rings a few weeks ago. It took me 20 years. It takes time to write a good story. It takes time to read a good story. But let every day, let every moment of every day, as you allow God in to rewrite it, let it be better than the last, and it will. Let faith sustain you, that your past is redeemed. Let hope sustain you, knowing there's a good ending, but let love carry you forward and rewrite your story today. So I'd love to pray for you. God, thank you. Every single one has a story. Every single one has an amazing story that you planned out for them. Good plans, good purposes, good works, good destiny. From before the foundation of the world, you had it all plotted out. And God, you see every story where perhaps the pages have been blurred or people have tried to tear out pages from their story or scribble them over and try and rewrite it or try and make something better in their own strength and their own wisdom. God, we recognize humbly right now just how exhausting that is and how it never turns out the way it does. God, we say we're sorry. We say we're sorry for when we've tried to seize the pen out of your hands and take control of our own lives and try and make a good story. We're sorry when we've allowed the difficult chapters of our past to loom over our present. We're sorry when we say we haven't trusted you, that you actually do have a better story available for us. But right now, God, we turn back to you and we say, God, here's the pen. Here's the paper. It's all yours. I allow you in to rewrite my story. I allow you in to write something better. I trust that you're able to use even the dark chapters of my past to make something good. You can redeem that. I trust that you really do have a good ending in eternity for me. And I trust, no matter what happens, I trust this morning that you will rewrite my story here and now, today, so that every aspect of my life, my physical and mental health, my hopes and dreams and expectations, my job and my career, my family and friends, my ministry, my situation, it will be glorious because I choose you as my author. I choose you as the finisher of my faith. In Jesus' name, amen. And you have maybe never done that before, never given your life to Jesus, never even allowed him into the writer's seat of your life. If you think that all sounds brilliant, I need a better story, but you've never actually come to the point where you've given control of your life over to Jesus and allowed him to write your story. The good news is 2,000 years ago, like we've been saying, God came to earth as Jesus, lived a perfect life that none of us could, died a death that he didn't deserve, and swapped our records so that when we believe in him, we are forgiven, we are loved, we are set free, and we are made right with God. So we're going to pray a prayer all together right now. For those of us who already follow Jesus, it's just a simple declaration of faith, but we're doing this all together in case there's anyone in here who's doing it either for the very first time, or maybe you gave your life to Jesus a long time ago, but you've tried to write your story your own way, you've walked away. Let me tell you, today's the perfect day to come home. So let's pray. I'll pray a line and you can pray it back out loud after me. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you for his death on the cross that paid for my sin and his resurrection to give me new life. I'm sorry for doing things my way. But today I receive your love and forgiveness. Come into my life, rewrite my story, and I declare that Jesus Christ is my Lord. Amen. Just with every head bowed and every eye closed in this final moment, it's only me looking around, but it's a private moment for anyone who's doing this. If you just prayed that prayer either for the first time or as a way of recommitting your life to Jesus, I want you to do something super brave in just a moment. Again, I won't embarrass you or bring you to the front or anything like that, but just so I know who that was, how about on the count of three, you'd be really brave and you just stick up your hand and I'll acknowledge it and then you can put it back down again. So one, two, three. Cool, I see that hand. Fantastic. Anyone else saying yes? A new chapter and a new beginning. Right. Brilliant stuff. Good. All right. Well, if you just said yes to Jesus then, or maybe you didn't raise your hand, but you felt like you wanted to, God's up to something in your world. On the screen behind me, there's a QR code that says Next Steps. We would love it if you could give that a scan and it will take you to our website where there's some short videos by our team explaining the brilliant decision that you've made today. But we always say, come on, keep on coming back. It's a reason to celebrate, and we want to celebrate with you. Come and chat to one of the team afterwards. We'd love to give you a Bible and get you started on your journey, but you will never regret allowing God to rewrite your story. And maybe as part of your story, if you're thinking, I like what's going on here. I like what this church is doing, and I want to be part of its story, making a difference to change this city's story. Well, maybe part of that is you want to give financially into the life of this church. There'll be another QR code on the screen behind me. Many folks in our church give online to make that happen, or the hosts will pass some buckets in between the rows during the final song if you want to give by cash. But we always say, if you're a guest, if you're in a chapter of your story right now where you're just exploring, where you just feel like you're just a visitor, that's absolutely fine. Please just let the buckets pass you by and feel under no obligation to give, because this is just a group of people that is so thankful that you are here with us. Everything's on the house. We hope that after this you have some amazing time at the back of the room with us, where we have some tea and coffee and hospitality prepared by the team. So stick around. Maybe a really good coffee can be part of your Sunday afternoon story today. Have a chat to someone you didn't come with. Be blessed and allow God in, and allow God to rewrite your story. I'm looking forward to hearing about the blockbuster that is in the works for each and every one of you. I'm going to hand back to the team now, and we're going to get our praise on one last time. All right.
Awesome. We're going to go out with a last song of praise, as we always do, and we're going to actually sing Lion and the Lamb. And as we sing the song, I just want you to use that as a reminder to think about who the God is that we serve, who the Lord Almighty actually is, and who the person is that is writing your story, because we're going to sing about that we serve and that we can trust to write our story. Everything that Chris said, what God is doing, he is so much more than that. And I just want us to together to sing this final song. Amazing. Why don't we clap our hands?
He's coming on the clouds. Kings and kingdoms will bow down. And every chain will break as broken hearts declare his praise. For who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion, the Lion of Judah. Roaring with power and fighting our battles, and every knee will bow before him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sin of the world. His blood breaks the chain, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Every knee will bow before. Our God who comes to save is here to set the captives. Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. And every knee will bow before him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sin of the world. Every knee will bow before.
Why don't you join us for hospitality at the back? Have a good week, everyone. We'll see you guys again next Sunday.